Am I muted?
Nope. No, not right now.
Okay.
You get your little button there, though, on your headset.
I know.
All right.
What the fuck?
Hello, and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode beta 31 for Wednesday, the 8th of April, 2015. I'm Amos, and with me tonight, this special gentleman right here, Kent. How you doing, man?
I'm good, dude. How are you doing?
You know, it's I called you special, so apparently I'm feeling better than I thought. I have been drinking these since about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, though, so...
Oh, helped. That might have something to do with it.
Yeah, it very well could. Hey, we have someone with us tonight.
Awesome.
A little loop back to days of yore when your sons popped on the old podcast to have a go. Tonight we have one each, Amber Lemos, with us.
Hey, hello, Amber, how's it going?
Hi.
I should have said the overly descriptive Amber Lemos.
Totally.
Wow.
Yeah.
So. Those watching the video feed will see that she is, her camera is covered because she doesn't feel made up enough, and, well, 15-year-olds are like that, so.
Well, I was about to comment on how beautiful she looks tonight.
Oh, well. you might actually know, but the people on YouTube aren't going to know, so. You know, it's a thing. It's what we do.
Yeah, well, I'm not as special as you indicated, because I haven't even seen her tonight, so. I'm no more special than the rest of our audience.
Well, let's just blow out all the secrets then, you know? I'm not wearing pants. What's up?
Oh, that's cool. Are we supposed to? I didn't get that.
Oh. Well, you know.
Hey, it's radio, weird. Whatever.
Essentially, yeah. All right. So, man, we've had a crazy week this week. Amber and her sister Ashley have come out during their spring break to come visit me. And the rest of the family, we've had a pretty good time. It's been fairly interesting thus far. We've done a lot of relaxing, actually. It's pretty much primarily what we've been doing.
Yeah, I've been sleeping, like, the whole time. It's
wait, a 15-year-old sleeping a lot? That's weird.
Yeah, she's either sleeping or on her Instagram or whatever it is she does on her phone. I don't even know anymore. Like, I almost don't want to ask what she does on her phone. It's just better that I don't know, so we'll just go with that.
Yeah, a lot of times I think it is better.
Yeah. I know what I would have been doing on my phone if I were 15 at this time in life, so I'm just not going to ask.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. I think we'd be different people today if we had this tech when we were her age.
You know, every time Amber and Ashley come out here, I end up having this conversation with them about how retarded I was for not embracing the geek and the nerd that I am inside way earlier in life.
Right. Yeah.
And they both well, it was kind of like a taboo, I'm a complete moron.
Well, it was kind of a taboo thing then. It was the, you know, you've got your jocks and your cool kids, and then you got everybody that they beat up.
Right. And see, that's the thing that gets me, though, is that I've always prided myself on being myself, and right. Now I look back and I'm like, I wasn't myself at all.
Yeah, I mean, well, you kind of were, but you like kept quiet about being yourself, which is, I mean, that's kind of what I did too. I was myself, but I was very quiet, I guess, very subdued about it. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. How are you, Amber? Are you typically yourself in public, or do you try to hold to yourself and not let anybody in?
Kind of depends. Like, sometimes I'll be, like, running around, like, screaming, and then another time I'll be, like, standing there not making eye contact with people.
Oh, well, look, apparently she's 15. So.
Oh, imagine that.
Totally strange concept.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's too bad Lucas couldn't be on today. We have, you know, disparaging views on all of life. Wait,
right?
No, both of them don't like people, and they're both social recluses that occasionally break out of their shells. Maybe it's just a 15 thing.
Yeah, it might be. Might be.
Yeah. Oh, weird. That's going to be the title of the show. Maybe it's just a 15 thing. So, all right, man. So the one thing that we did do this week, that I thought was really cool actually happened today. We went to the Grace Museum here in Abilene. Okay, so we went to Frontier, Texas first. No. It cost the three of us $18. Amber wandered around the entire time, trying not to annoy the kids. The only thing she really enjoyed was at one point there's a circular theater that you're in, and you're sitting on these chairs that spin around. So she just sat there and spun pretty much the entire time. Ashley kind of just sat there and spazzed out because everything was like it was bright and there's like, you know, a fake gunfight and everything else going on in there. I was trying to pay attention, but even I, with my, oh, I want to learn history, mind got bored pretty quick. So I wouldn't, well, obviously Frontier, Texas is not something you do more than once.
Should have joined me in the chair spinning.
No, I wouldn't have I'd have been throwing up on the way to the truck.
This reminds me of Tombstone, Arizona. It's a cool place to visit, but it's kind of a, you do it once and you're good.
Yeah, that's exactly what this was. I'm good. I'm good. Don't have to go back. I'm glad it took me 3 years to go there in the first place. It built up some anticipation. It made it to where I was like, you know what? I've been here for 3 years and I've never been to this place. I need to absorb as much of this as I can. We were there for about an hour and yeah, I mean, it was cool enough. I mean, if you're into the whole Texas frontier kind of thing, you know, Frontier, Texas, if you're into that whole massacre of the Native Americans and calling them Injuns and, you know, killing out millions of buffalo to where they're almost extinct now and all that stuff, you know, I mean, if it's your thing for just enjoy entropy of the 17 to 1900s, it's your thing. That's exactly where you should go.
Who doesn't enjoy a good massacre or a genocide?
Right? Right? Stories about the Indians coming in and shooting the lady's husband and taking her daughter and branding her head with a circle on it and this and just like, you know, I don't know. Like, it was very, very anti-Native American in my view.
But it was really random because it went from like the girl talking about how like she had a circle on her head to like a buffalo hunt.
It did. The outline for the presentation, I would very, very much like to see.
Fireflies excited me. It was like little spots everywhere.
Yeah, little green like laser spots everywhere. Yeah, like, but that was the first thing they showed, and it just kind of went downhill from there, though.
Yeah, it's wait, dragonflies?
No, like, they were the fireflies.
Fireflies to buffalo.
Dragonflies would have scared the shit out of me. There are a lot of them. And I'm sure they're completely harmless, so they say. I don't want to take my chances.
Well, until they start breathing fire.
Oh, okay.
So there's that.
There you go. But we followed that up with the trip to the Grace Museum. The Grace Museum is essentially a local contemporary art museum. And the second floor had a bunch of art from local high school students. There's some pretty talented people around here. I thought that was pretty nice. What did you think of that, Amber?
It was cool, but I like the kids section. That was great.
Oh, man. They had this little Discovery Center in there. And they had a wall. Okay, the rest of it was cool. You know, you talk into this tube, you can hear it from that tube, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. They had a wall that you press on these little wooden panels, and it makes different sounds. And that occupied me and Amber for a good 10 minutes, and then I left to go look at some of the other exhibits, and Amber and Ashley were there for another 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay.
It's like this big keyboard, but it was made of abstract art and wooden panels, and it wasn't just your normal sounds. It wasn't like a piano or anything else. One of them was the Dark Crystal. We made a sound like the Dark Crystal, like when the monks are like
the mystics.
And then you have this crystal itself starts making another high pitched sound, so it'd be like it was really trippy. It was awesome.
Cool.
So
is it sponsored or run by a church by chance?
I think it's run by private donations. I am not sure.
Usually, like, when I hear something that's named, like, the Grace something, that to me that implies, like, a Christian church or something.
Well, it's named the Grace Museum because back in the day it was called the Grace Hotel, and that was the original name for it.
Ah.
I don't know where it got its name there, but that was back in the early 1800s, I believe, when Abilene was first established.
Okay. Interesting.
So it's one of the original buildings in the town, like one of the original, you know, top 10 first built buildings in the town.
That would be a draw to me. I like touring old architecture.
Yeah, it was a refurbishment of the old architecture, and they had some of the original architecture. In fact, they had some of the original equipment on the third floor for different time periods for the hotel, and that was pretty cool. I've spent a good amount of time up there looking at the different stuff, different construction techniques and things like that. That was pretty cool. Amber and Ashley didn't seem to really like that too much.
It was cool.
Amber was up there for like 3 minutes. She was like, okay, what else we got?
And done.
Yeah.
I spent a good like 40 minutes in that kid area.
15 playing with kids' toys, you know, it's one of those things.
Hey, that sounds good to me. Give every piece of art.
However,
I was just going to say, give every piece of art like a once over and then spend the rest of the time with the toys.
Sounds good. Exactly. On the first floor, they had this display, and I meant to bring my little pamphlet out here. Do you remember what it's called? Something to do with clouds or something like that. Anyway, it was pretty cool. And I'll shoot a link in the show notes. But essentially, this lady went and took sheets of plastic, clear plastic, dipped them in paraffin wax. And the wax was infused with graphite, so when she pulled it out, it would create these different layers of black on this white. And then there's like, I don't know, a couple of thousand panels, whatever, but they hung them up in a way that it was like you're walking under a cloud when you're going through it. And every panel was different, and there were like 53 panels wide by like 50 panels or 50 rows or whatever. It was pretty cool. I'm not one to really appreciate art. I'm not that type of person, but that was really pretty cool. Just watching the process of how she made it and everything else, and then seeing the effect and seeing the intent, it was pretty cool.
Nice.
So there's the Grace Museum. Free for military and military dependents, and discounted for vets and civil service.
Excellent.
So how about you, man? How was your week? Now that we're 30
not
minutes
bad.
In on just one right. day.
No, it hasn't been bad, mainly because I haven't been at work. I'm going through the retiree-specific version of TAP this week, which is the Transition Assistance Program, basically teaching me how to be a civilian. So I have not put on a uniform all week, and I'm loving it.
Yeah. Me neither, but I've been on leave, so, you know,
yeah.
Different perspectives.
The cool thing is I'm still getting paid. I'm on the clock.
Yeah.
I'm not even spending leave. So it's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Jerk.
I went through the regular version of this class last summer, the end of last summer, if you remember. I think I might have even talked about it on the show.
I believe you did.
And, you know, as cool as that was, this is a lot better. One, it's geared toward retirees. Everybody in the class is retiring. They call it senior TAP, which basically is because almost everyone in the class is either a master sergeant or above, or if they're an officer, they're a major or above because we're retiring. So everybody kind of, we've got a handle on the basic stuff, like making a basic budget, all the stuff that an airman that's been in the Air Force for a year, been away from mama for a year and a half, and they just can't pass their PT test, so they're getting kicked out. You know, there's a lot of things that need to be geared toward them that we don't need to hear. So they spend a lot more time on things that matter to us, like, writing a federal resume. Things that matter more for us, they spend more time on. Not only is it more applicable than the last class I took, it's also more relevant to me because I'm getting out within the next couple of months. So everything is like, okay, I got to pay attention to this because I am, in fact, right now trying to write my federal resume, where almost a year ago, it was kind of like, yeah, I might do that someday. So you only kind of absorb a little bit of it, you know. It's been really nice to go through it again. So I recommend that to anybody that's getting out, especially if you're retiring and you know that you're getting out within the next year or two. Go as early as your supervision will allow you to go, at least a year out, I would suggest. And then go again.
Just to get that basis.
Within a couple of months. Yeah. Because there's a lot of things that I got from that first class, just becoming aware of certain things. It was very beneficial. And then now at this point, a lot of things, if I had just now heard about it for the first time, I would be scrambling to get certain things done. So
right.
I definitely recommend take it about a year out and then take it a couple months out.
Cool.
So that's pretty much been my week.
I'm not retiring anytime soon. Four more years. So ready to retire.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that.
How bad is it that part of the reason I'm ready to retire is just because I want to say what I want to say on this podcast?
I understand that as well. And I'm trying to transfer to civil service, so even though I won't be a member of the military, I'm still going to kind of have a muzzle on certain things that might run through my head.
Yeah, I don't want to be there. I don't want to have that. I don't know. I just want to speak what the hell I want to speak. Right. I guess there's always some kind of censor on you.
Yeah.
So
always.
How about TED Talks, man? Would you see this Dan Ariely?
Yeah, it was called "How Equal Do We Want the World to Be?" You'd be surprised. Basically, he takes a piece of data. So, for example, the wealth distribution, and we're looking particularly at the United States and the examples that he gives, and he says, okay, so if you divide the population into, I think it was the bottom 20%, the next 20%, the next 20%, so on until the richest or wealthiest 20%, and then you do a poll. A large number of people of all, you know, all across the demographics scheme, I guess. And there's a big disparity between where people think the wealth distribution is versus where the distribution really is.
Where it actually
the,
is, yeah.
The top 20%, the wealthiest 20% have something like 60% of the total available wealth, and people were anywhere from like 20 to 30% off in their guess. And if they take any data set, a similar thing, anything having to do with distribution, the public perception is pretty much exactly the same. Where you whatever you think the distribution is not where it actually is. So things like healthcare. Food, you know, food availability, things like, you know, things that matter to people, things that if you asked most people, they would say this should be equal. Wealth, not necessarily, right. Because nobody wants true socialism, really, when they really think about it. But things like healthcare, education, most people would say, yes, that should be equal amongst everyone. Right. It doesn't matter how rich or poor you are, where you came from, what your background is, everyone should have the same opportunities for education. Healthcare. I mean, come on. If you're sick, you should have the opportunity to become healthy. If you're broken, you should have the opportunity to become fixed, regardless of who you are, wherever. So a lot of disparity between what we think it is, where we think it should be, and what it actually is. And he talked a lot about the placebo effect of we, like, our physiology a lot of times depends on our perception or what we expect. So if we expect, like, for example, if you don't like peas and you don't like green beans, but you've never had broccoli, and you think, man, you know, green vegetables are just disgusting. And you look at broccoli and you're like, oh, that's going to be horrible. And then you try it, you know, just, you know, mommy makes you try it or whatever. You instantly, like, oh, you want to spit it out because it's just so nasty. But in a blind taste test, if you're like, oh, you know, check this thing out. This is like the greatest food I've ever found. Give it a try. And then you try it. Oh, yeah, that's not bad. It's because you expected to not like it. And that's, you know, and that's the same with a lot of things like medicine. That's, you know, the placebo effect. That's where this kind of comes from. If you expect to get healthy from taking a pill, you're probably, your symptoms are going to improve when you take this pill, even right. if it's just a sugar pill.
Even
or
if,
just
even if you're not, yeah, even if you're not actually getting better, your symptoms still seem to improve.
Right. And he says that that's, you know, that's true for anything, just perceptions of anything. You'll find what you expect to find, sort of thing. It's an interesting talk. This is one, you know, my last couple talks I haven't gotten a lot of inspiration from, but this one, this is a good one. So the link's going to be in the show notes. Check it out. It's a good one. And it's pretty short, too. It's like 10 minutes.
This is one that I actually watched. Well, I kind of watched. I watched while I was doing something else. And it's one that I'll go back to and rewatch because I got something out of what little bit I saw. But I know that there's more there than what I actually captured from it.
Absolutely. Because so, I found myself a couple of moments.
Amber half-assed watched it with me, but she didn't get anything out of it because she more half-assed it than I did.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but I was noticing when I watched it.
I'm not sure she knew that we were watching it.
Wow. But yeah, I was noticing as I was watching it that I'm like, oh, I didn't quite catch all that. I want to watch this again. Right. So I think two or three viewings are probably going to be happening for this one.
Yep. The one that I watched this week, well, I watched a couple, but the one that I want to bring up, Randall Monroe, Comics That Ask What If? And what he's displaying is he runs a site, and I can't pimp it because I didn't write it down. He welcomes questions from his viewers, and he's a cartoonist, and they ask him, what would happen if, you know, this, that? What would happen, blah, 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 blah. Well, one of the questions that he, you know, the one that he demonstrates in here, what would happen if a pitcher threw a ball at 90% the speed of sound, or speed of light? And he goes into detail about how it basically incinerate the entire area, and it'd be like a nuclear blast effect and this and that, and
sure,
kind of goes into detail about it. But then the question was raised, how much data does Google have? How much data would that be? How many punch cards would that be if they converted all the Google data into punch cards? And he did some math trickery trying to decide, because Google's very close-mouthed about how much data they actually have. Mm-hmm. So he based, okay, well, if you had this much of an area, you could put this many servers in there. If you use this much power, then you could, you know, that you'd have this many servers that you could do, and you know what I mean? All that kind of stuff. So he estimated that you'd be able to bury, I think it was Boston or Manhattan, bury it 15 meters high in punch cards in order to fill how much data Google actually has. And he never got a response from Google. You know, he never expected one, right? Because they're not going to come out and say, oh, no, you're blah, 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 blah. Well, he ended up getting a package. He got a call from someone at Google, said, hey, you should be expecting a package. Go get the package. So he goes and he picks up the package. And in it are punch cards. And the punch cards, there's a code in the punch cards. So him and his friends get together. They start doing the cryptography and everything else. And they figure out the code. And within the code is another code. And they break that code. And then, it keeps breaking down and breaking down, breaking down into all this, you know, these cryptographic messages. And they finally get to the final code. And the code summed out to an answer from Google. The answer? No comment.
Holy shit.
So
I was gonna say, my guess was gonna be sure to drink your Ovaltine.
Yeah, but yeah, it he presented in a much much more humorous way than I could ever give justice to. So I recommend watching it. It was pretty interesting. It's pretty funny. It's pretty short. It's what, 9.5 minutes long. Again, Randall Monroe, Comics That Ask What If. And it is fairly interesting. So go watch it.
Right on. Yeah, that sounds like it's right up my alley. I'll check that one out for sure. Yeah.
Speaking of things that are right up your alley.
Mm.
Hashtag free the nipple.
Yeah, I just learned about this about 20 minutes ago. I'd never heard of this.
Essentially, it goes like this. Someone in Denmark or Iceland or wherever had some reason to be topless. She was a female, and she was, I don't even know how to say it. She was basically ostracized. She was punished for it. You know, she was
Europe
treated like a criminal for it. I don't know if it was a post or whatever. I forget the details. This is one of those things where, hey, you know what? If you're listening, go find out yourself. Get the true story. But anyway,
Google it.
Since then, there's been a movement on the Twitter to examine our topless laws. And in reading up on this and reading some of the posts in there, the spectrum goes from certain countries in Europe, you can go topless anywhere, anytime. They can't hold you back if, you know, there's no problems at all. All the way to there are certain states in the U.S. where you're not allowed to breastfeed in public. Well, I should say certain cities.
Horseshit.
Yeah, certain cities. There are no states that outlaw going topless as a woman in the United States. But there are certain cities and municipalities that have put restrictions on it. And the basis of it is, well, if men can go topless, why can't women?
Right, equality.
Well, it's more than that even. It's by censoring women from being able to go topless, you are creating a situation where women's bodies are sexualized further and thereby continuing the bias against women going topless. It's circular logic. It feeds itself. There is nothing wrong with women going topless. It's all the same parts as men going topless, but for whatever reason, we've sexualized it and made it to where it's taboo.
Well, it's the same thing with where, you know, there's certain countries and probably even localities in the United States that where women can't show their knees, for example, or even their ankles for the exact same reason, because you're showing too much skin.
But dudes can walk around in Speedos.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, that's fine. Whatever, it's a dude. We don't care. The men are making the rules. The men are doing, you know, putting everything in place from their perspective. The men,
right?
Yep. You know, for the majority, anyway, at least the majority of men in power aren't looking at other dudes in a sexual way. So, you know, the women are the sexual objects. So they put rules into place to, you know, cover up, to suppress their thoughts or their whatever, or at least, you know, inflict that on the people that they think, well, if I think that like this, then they definitely are, so I need to put a law into place to suppress them. But here, you know, in most places, at least here in the United States, or at least in Western civilization, we'll say that, you know, women can show their knees or their ankle, and you don't see a woman in shorts and automatically think like, oh my god, you know, look at her knees, right? You know, that's not how we think, because we're completely desensitized apparently. And I think the impression that I got with the free the nipple movement is, if breasts are commonplace, then they're no longer going to be sexualized, and it's not going to be a thing. Just like ankles and knees are not a thing for us.
The part that gets me is this gender bias and this So back in the 1800s, 1700s, way back, as far back as you can go prior to, say, 1900, okay? Only the wealthy could shave, as far as men.
Okay.
Only the wealthy could shave, because you either had to pay for someone to do it for you, or you had to have the time in your day to go with a blade and do it yourself. Either way, you could either afford for someone to do it for you or afford to spend the time on it. So the poor and the middle class weren't shaven. They may have been trimmed, but they weren't shaven. Okay. You go from that and it continues forward. And now we are in the military. And because the aesthetic of it is viewed as proper and higher class, we have to maintain a shave at all times. Except for like right now, because you're in TAPS and I'm on leave. but that is the essential culture of it, is that they want us clean shaven because it presents a proper gentlemanly image, and it stems back from that.
So it has nothing to do with gas masks, like I was lied to, but I mean told about.
No. No. Okay. First of all, gas masks seal around here. And if I'm allowed to have sideburns, explain that one to me. And if you can have a shaving waiver and wear one, then I guess it doesn't matter how long my beard is, does it?
Hey, don't confuse me with logic. I was told what I was told. And
you're getting ready to escape the military. I got to stop doing that to you. So in the early 1900s, Gillette, the company that creates razors and was making shaving affordable for the average man.
That's the best a man can get, right?
No. So they needed the saturation was, or the market was saturated. They couldn't produce any further, you know, they couldn't get any more men to shave because all the men that wanted to shave, could afford to shave, were freaking shaving. So what they did was they made several advertisements, full page advertisements in Vogue magazine and in, I can't remember the other one. There were other really popular magazines of the day with women having shaved their legs. Now, this was ridiculous.
Okay.
No women had shaved their legs before this. They were creating a market by basically sexualizing the legs. And this is right at the same time where the dresses were coming up and the ankles are showing. So you see how that goes. And conveniently enough, women in America started shaving their armpits right about the time when sleeves were going away for women and they could go with a sleeveless shirt.
So are you trying to say that sex sells?
It's not just that sex sells. It's a matter of the continued sexualization of women's bodies. It pisses me off and disturbs me. Women are, at least in my heterosexual view, women are attractive as they are. They don't need the additional, they don't need the extra makeup. They don't need the sexy clothes. They don't need to have the armpits shaved and the legs shaved every day and all that other stuff. You know what I mean? This continued sexualization of the female form irritates the piss out of me. And maybe it's because I have, five daughters?
Yeah, I was going to say, says the father of daughters.
You know? Yeah, so it irritates the piss out of me. And what really kills me is that it feeds over to girls' self-image.
Yes, that's actually the point I was going to raise.
You know what I mean? So now I have, out of five daughters, one of them is 2 years old, so she's out. I've got three 12-year-olds. Two of them are wearing makeup on a regular basis. One of them doesn't give a shit. And I got a 15-year-old that wears makeup on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So, Amber, I throw it to you. When did you start wearing makeup?
I think the middle of sixth grade.
Middle of sixth grade.
Yeah.
So you were, like, 12, right?
11 and 12.
Yeah.
Why?
No. I saw other people wearing it, and I thought it looked cool, and I wanted to try it. And after I tried it, I wanted to wear it more.
So there you go. There's from the eyes of a 15-year-old looking back a few years on when she started wearing makeup. Man, it just bothers me. I prefer, like, when I go out with my wife and she throws on some eyeliner or some mascara or whatever, you know, it's nice. Like, it's hey, you know, we're getting fancy today. It's like putting on your church clothes or whatever. But if she were doing that all the time, it would lose its effect.
Right.
You know? Yes.
Yeah.
And it just becomes normal.
Right. And then when she doesn't, then you'd be like, whoa, something's different. What's the problem here? What's going on?
Right. Right. I like the fact that on a Saturday morning when I wake up next to my wife at 10 o'clock in the morning, she hasn't had any makeup on in 2 days. She's still the beautiful woman that I married, as opposed to almost the beautiful woman. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, would you like to add anything to this argument, Amber?
I'm sorry, I just made a weird noise. But no.
All right, I think we covered that.
So, all right, that's wow, very good.
So check this out. I'm all about philanthropy. I'm all about crowdsourced ventures. I came across something. It was actually my girlfriend Stephanie pointed it out to me. That I am absolutely in love with this idea, and I think everybody that owns a business should adopt this or something similar. There is a pizza parlor in Philadelphia. It's called Rose's, and this guy, all he sells is pizza. It's a dollar a slice pizza. That's all he sells. I guess it's pretty popular. And what he started to do was offer to his customers to buy it forward, is what he's calling it, I think. There's a lot of homeless in Philadelphia, as there are in pretty much any urban environment in America, probably the world.
In any major metropolitan area.
Right. So basically, you show up to this pizza shop, Rose's, and you want a slice of pizza. It's a dollar. You buy your pizza. Go ahead and give him another dollar. He hands you a post-it note. You write a little inspirational message, throw it up on the wall, and you just bought a slice of pizza for a homeless person. Anyone, doesn't even really have to be homeless. You or I, in fact, could walk into this pizza parlor and pull a post-it note off the wall and hand it to the merchant, and you got a free slice of pizza. And these post-it notes have an inspirational message like, you know, hey, you know, hang in there. Things will get better, you know, whatever. But it's worth a free slice of pizza. That's awesome. That is absolutely amazing to me. And this guy, you know, he's not charging anything. You know, it's not, you know, if you donate to a charity, the average charity, let's say you give $100, probably about 60, maybe, of your dollars are actually going to help people.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's the good ones. All the rest of it's going to administrative costs and all this other sort of thing.
Or this advertising, guy, you know, or printing out those fancy little pamphlets they want to give everybody, even if you don't want to partake in the charity.
Yeah, anyway, we could go on about that. But, you know, this guy, he's not, there is no overhead for this. You want two slices of pizza, you want two slices of pizza, you give $2. But you only take one slice and the other one goes on a post-it note up on the wall. This guy's pizza parlor, the walls are covered in post-it notes.
Nice. That's good stuff.
Advertise, like, you know, make people feel guilty or anything. It's just something that he offers to people. And people just want to help. And it's not just a blind, like, okay, fine. You know, like if you go to Applebee's or something, they offer the, you know, you want to donate a dollar to whatever it is?
Right.
It's not even like that. Because people are writing inspirational notes on the post-it notes for, you know, so it's not just a, you know, drop the money and forget about it. It's people actually care. And I would love to see that imitated everywhere.
In other places, yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. I think it's awesome.
It actually reminds me of a story from Oprah Winfrey. Yeah, I know. You can go ahead and seal up one of the punches in my man card. I don't care. Oprah Winfrey lived in Chicago, worked in Chicago, and she would drive to work every day. And she would go through the tolls. And it's one of those tolls where you just, you know, you pay the dude or you throw the money in the little change thing or whatever. Well, one day she's going through and she pays the guy with a $100 bill. And she says, I want to pay for all the next people until the $100 is gone. And tomorrow I'll be back to ask you how many people went through. So she leaves and she comes back the next day. And she found that the tendency of people was for them to go ahead and pay their toll and to keep the chain going. So whereas the toll have paid for, like, you know, 50 people or whatever, it ended up paying for like 8 times that number of people before the money finally ran out. Because people go up there and they'd be like, yeah, you know, somebody already paid your toll. And they'd be like, oh, well, I was going to pay my toll anyway. Just pass it to the next person. So
yeah, that's oh my God, I love stuff like that.
Yeah, if we could just have more of that and less of the buffalo killing, it'd be good.
Yeah, I think we've kind of curbed our addiction to killing buffalo. At least I hope
by virtue
so.
Of their, yeah, by virtue of there not being any buffalo left.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the buffalo killing hasn't been in the news lately, so.
Yeah. They said at the end of the buffalo, like at the end of the buffaloes, these guys were killing like 100 a day.
Yeah, and not doing anything with them, just killing them.
Well, no, they would kill them and take the skin. They'd skin
sometimes,
them.
Yeah.
But they'd leave the meat to rot.
Yeah, and everything else. Or a Native American so kills one buffalo, yeah, they feeds the village, and they make blankets, and they make tools with the, yeah, et cetera, et cetera.
I hate white people.
God, I hate white people. Fuck white people.
Yeah, fuck white people. There we go. Their title.
White man bad. Wow, that was only slightly racist. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. It was nowhere nearly racist enough for us. We got a reputation to maintain in this fucking show.
That's true. So, that's true.
All right.
We need to bring Richard back on so we can get like super racial and everything else.
Oh, you're talking about Richard Gunther, the one that got tired of having his name mentioned on the show, so he finally came on because I accidentally invited him, and he was like, fuck yeah, I'm going to show up and tell these dudes what's up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Richard Gunther needs to come back on the show. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Hey, Amber, have you ever heard of Richard Gunther?
I listened to y'all's podcast, I think, on the way here.
So we mentioned Richard Gunther on here before, I think.
I didn't really pay attention. I think I fell asleep, but
yeah, she was. Well, yeah, that's what she does in the car, though. That's her
right,
job.
Yeah, it's like me on an airplane.
We have random conversations, and then all of a sudden the conversation stops, and I look around, and they're either on their phone or asleep, and I'm like, okay, all right, I guess I'm driving solo.
Well, we had a long trip over there.
They did come from the East Coast. I'll give them that.
Yeah. Well, if you were like me, Amber, you'd sleep on a plane, and then you'd be wide awake and restless.
I don't sleep on planes. Like
Kent can't stay awake. Like, as soon as the engines rev up, he's like...
Yep. I very rarely experience takeoff.
If they weren't kicking him off the plane, he would end up like 2 or 3 hops later.
Yeah, that's been the case more than once.
Like, dude, you got to go. Screw you, I don't want any peanuts.
Yeah, I'll wake up when the guy next to me is pulling his luggage out of the overhead thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's either you can have peanuts here in Dallas or you can have peanuts in, you know, Quebec. Which one do you want, sir?
Well, I haven't been to Canada. So.
Oh, no. Quebec, Missouri. Like,
oh. Ooh.
Yeah, you ever heard of that place? No, neither have we. We're flying there anyway. Like, get off the plane.
Oh, no. All right.
Okay, so in response to some of the things we talked about last week, I watched a couple of Vlogbrothers videos.
Okay.
Vlogbrothers are Hank and John Green. They've been doing Vlogbrothers videos for, I don't know, like 8 years now or something.
This is vlog They're as both, in like video blog, right?
Yes, yeah. Vlog Brothers.
Got it.
Easy to find on YouTube. And John Green is the writer of A Fault in Our Stars, their recent movie from last summer.
Paper Towns.
Paper Towns, it's coming out this summer, right?
Yeah, and Abundance of Catherines. And
An Abundance of Catherines, yeah. He's written several books. They're mostly aimed at Amber's age.
That explains some things.
Yeah,
her expansive knowledge of these books and mine having never heard of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he writes books for middle to older teens the way Nicholas Sparks writes love stories over and over and over again.
Okay, so, that went right over my head too.
You're so not into the know. how about this? Well, I don't even want to say that because that'd be a diss on John Green, and I'm not about to do that. Nicholas Sparks writes the same love story the way Days of the New writes the same song.
Oh, I do get that reference.
I think I got it a little bit. I don't even know what's going on.
Oh my god! Days of the New had two songs, and they were pretty good. And then they just kept redoing those same songs with different, you know, one minor difference here and there. It was so awful. I went to see them in Charlotte, and it was just they did the first two songs, and I thought I knew those two songs, and they played two more songs. And I was like,
"Wait,
didn't they just play these two?"
That was like Bush. That was like my experience with seeing Bush in concert. It was pretty much the same thing. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Glad I came to this show.
Yeah. The part that really pissed me off about that is that Alice in Chains. Well, okay. So what was left of Alice in Chains opened for Days of the New, who opened for Metallica. They should have just left Days of the New completely out of it. Like, they did not add anything to the show at all.
That sucks, man. I used to really like Days of the New.
Yeah, until you heard the third song. It was like, yeah, I've already heard this one. So
then again, I used to really like Bush, and then I saw them in Pensacola, Florida, and was like,
I still like Bush. Music. So I watched their show. They had two videos, and what they do is one of them will release a video on Saturday, the other one will release a video on Tuesday, and it's a conversation back and forth, and sometimes the conversation continues from video to video. Sometimes it's completely different. It depends on whatever's going on in the world and whatever's going on in their lives and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They put something down about religion and gay marriage, and the other one was called Your Arguments Are Invalid, : gay marriage.
Okay.
And essentially the argument was that this whole gay marriage thing and the whole gay rights thing, it's not a matter of you want certain people to be able to marry or whatever else. You want to hold a bias against certain people so that they can't. And I think it's pretty interesting that they basically came to the same conclusion we came with on our last podcast. Of course, they came up with this in 2012. So, you know, it's slightly different context.
Okay.
But, you know, it's good to know that we're only 3 years behind the times.
I think I'm more than that in certain areas.
Probably. You ever heard of Meerkat?
I'm sorry, what?
Yes. Apparently, we were at South by Southwest when Meerkat was like making it big, and we didn't even notice. So, yeah, we're
awesome. Well, you know, they're getting overshadowed now by...
We were far too intoxicated. But Periscope.
They're getting overshadowed now. Yes, Periscope. There was a lot of people that I was following that were using Meerkat, and now they suddenly switched to Periscope. So,
yeah,
I don't know. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah, I haven't tried Periscope out. I haven't tried Meerkat out either. I've installed it, but I haven't actually tried it out.
Yeah,
I tried to.
Yeah, I tried to. It wouldn't let me get in because Madonna was live streaming something. I was like, hell yeah, I'll see what Madonna's up to. Didn't work.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, I feel bad. We were just talking about what was his name?
Richard Gunther.
Richard Gunther. Yes, Richard Gunther. We were just talking about Richard Gunther, and he just released Home On, his podcast, episode 45 called Spring Forward with Jim Collison. In that episode, he actually gives a shout out to us.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It was only like 3 seconds. So I figured we could spend at least 30 seconds returning that shout out back to him. Home on it, man. This is one of those cases. This is one of those things that pisses me off about podcasting and about radio and about television in general. Richard Gunther is a very interesting individual. He is a very intelligent individual, and he understands a lot of things that I will never grasp, especially when it comes to home automation and the world of Windows that I abandoned years ago.
Uh-huh.
So he has these podcasts, and I'll listen to it, and it's, you know, it's a good podcast. Anybody that's into home automation, that you're into having the lights come on as soon as you get home just by geolocation on your phone, all that kind of stuff, you know, by all means, listen to Home On. He really nails the whole concept of keeping up to date on the latest on what's happening with home automation. Really, yeah, does. It's
definitely a well-done show.
Yes, and he's very passionate about it, too, which is probably why it's so good. But I'm not. Like, it's so... to me, it's such a fringe technology that I'm not into, like... It's only half baked, in my opinion. Like, it is not.
Yes. No, you don't. Yes, I absolutely agree with you.
Home automation and my level of expected level of competence and collaboration amongst it, there, it's not there yet.
Yeah, I want the Jetsons home. I want what Richard talks about in his podcast. I want these things. But I don't want to have to listen to Richard's show to try to figure out what the fuck, why my lights won't come on when I want them to. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
I want to just come home and my fucking lights turn on. I don't want to think about it. So I want that future.
I can imagine going to Richard's house and he's got to use like three different apps to get the lights on in different rooms, you know? Like, it's just not integrated enough yet. It's not simple enough. It's too much in the techie, geeky world so far.
Yeah.
And it's not the branch of geeky that I'm part of.
Right. But at the same time, it's very, very cool stuff. Like, it's really, really cool. If, you know, if anybody's interested in these sorts of things, the automated home, dude, seriously, check it out. That's probably the best show. It's definitely one of the best, if not the best show out there for home automation. Definitely check it out.
It was just picked up. Excuse me. It was just picked up. For a group of tech podcasts to include Daily Tech News Show, which to me is the epitome of daily tech news.
Weird. Oh, sure.
And, he's in that caliber. He's in that group of individuals. In fact, he's had Tom Merritt on his podcast discussing home automation because Tom Merritt's kind of a fan of it too.
Yeah.
And so anyway, if you're listening to this, if you're one of the people that listens or watches our show regularly and you're into home automation, Home On with Richard Gunther.
Absolutely.
It's home:on. Very well done.
Just go to iTunes and search Richard Gunther. You'll definitely find all of his podcasts that way.
Yes. Yes. DMZ, Digital Media Zone. He's on a couple of different ones over there. So make sure you do that. We got to have him on more often. He's such an interesting individual, and you got a kick out of him when he was on the first podcast, and then you got the chance to hang out with him at South by Southwest. Never a disappointment. Like, he has these off the wall comments that just come out of left field, and you're like, I was about to think that 3 seconds from now. Really cool dude.
So he definitely. I think we've firmly established that we're Richard Gunther fans.
Yeah, it's
so. But
weird.
Hey, you know,
we're also like home automation. Richard Gunther friends, so it's weird.
How many? You know, we did the count. This is the Richard Gunther count. How many times can we say Richard Gunther in one show?
Yes, yeah.
So if anybody could you know email us with the answer, that would be awesome.
Yeah,
but that would be very, okay. Very so talking about home automation, it makes me think of a subject that we discussed. Man, probably 4 or 5 months ago now, the Internet of Things. Basically where things that we use start talking to each other.
A few times.
Yeah, yeah. We had one show where we talked a lot about it, and I think we've touched on it probably 3 or 4 times. So a product recently was introduced that really screams Internet of Things to me, or at least the idea of where we kind of want the Internet of Things to go, I think, in a way, sort of.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen the Amazon Dash button?
I've seen it, but I've, so here's a brief history of my history, or brief history of my knowledge of Dash. It came up in tech news, or not, God, messing.
Oh, that's old school. You mean daily tech news show?
Yeah, daily tech news show. Yeah, you're talking as if you listen to either one of them. So it came up in daily tech news show. They had a brief discussion about it. And it wasn't fully fleshed out, so I kind of mind dumped it. And then it came up again, and it still wasn't fully fleshed out, so I kind of mind dumped it again. And by the time I heard that, hey, it's actually a thing, and they're doing it, and it's blah, 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 I'd already mind dumped it twice, so it had, like, the stigma on it.
So, all right. Let me tell you my thoughts on it. All right. So, first of all, the thing was released on the last day of March, which is the day before April Fool's Day, right? This thing came to my attention on April 1st. And when I saw it on Amazon's front page, it seemed like an April Fool's prank. You know how the internet just kind of goes crazy and does a bunch of crazy stuff on April Fool's Day? This seemed like Amazon's practical joke for 2015, but it turns out that it's a real product. Basically what it is, the products that you use all the time, the things that you run out of, laundry detergent, paper towels, razors,
dog food.
Yes, exactly. All of these sorts of things. You can get a button from Amazon, and they give them out for free. You have to apply for one and be invited into the thing. I haven't done it yet myself. I'm going to, just to kind of try it out. But it's kind of a complicated process to get one, but I guess they send you one for free. Basically, the way it works is that, let's say for laundry detergent, because this is the main one that they show on their little promo video, you get a Tide button, and you just stick it on your washing machine or wherever you want to put it, maybe inside the cabinet where you put your laundry detergent, whatever. You notice that you're starting to run low, so you just hit the button. You just now ordered from Amazon a replacement for your Tide. So if you're an Amazon Prime member, guess what's going to show up at your house tomorrow?
So what happens? What happens if you've got an Amazon Dash, right? An Amazon Dash button,
right?
Under the sink in the bathroom where you keep the shit tickets.
Uh-huh.
And you're in the bathroom. You notice you're on your last roll. You hit your Amazon Dash button because you need some more shit tickets.
Yes.
The next person comes in, realizes you're on the last roll, and it's like halfway gone. So they hit the button to order some shit tickets.
No, it doesn't work that way.
You see where I'm going with this, right?
It doesn't work that way. You hit the button. You can hit the button 7,000 times. You're only going to get one order until your order arrives. Once the order is delivered, the button is active again. Now, you can set up you can set up in your personal settings if you want. You want a case, you want a package, you can set your quantity or whatever, but when you hit the button, that's what you're going to have sent to you.
Let me tell you this, man. I got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 women and 2 dudes in this house. I need shit tickets by like the truckload.
Right, you need like a case every 2 days, probably.
Can I get like a Matson container just parked out in front of my house?
you probably can. I think you can set that up with Amazon.
Anyway,
now, wait, have you heard of Amazon subscriptions? Like
no.
I don't remember the exact name because it's got a name. Everything's named, right?
Yeah.
You can subscribe to certain projects.
You don't know what frilly name it is?
You can subscribe to certain products and set the frequency. So
the frequency.
Once a month, once a week, whatever. You can actually subscribe to toilet paper. If you go through a case a week, for example, you can subscribe on Amazon to toilet paper, and every single week you will arrive on your doorstep a case of toilet paper. Not even kidding. It's really cool. I'm actually thinking about setting this stuff up. And if you do, I think it's at least 3 items with a frequency of at least once a month, you get, I think it's free shipping. But if you're a Prime member, it's, you know, you get free shipping anyway.
So what you're saying is if I go on to Amazon, well, first of all, if I go to ritualmisery.com and hit the Amazon button.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that takes me to Amazon.com.
Yes. It
doesn't cost me anything, but it takes me to Amazon.com.
Right.
And kicks a little bit back to this show for anything that I order. If I go
right,
that
a few,
way.
A few cents to every dollar. Yep.
Right, right, right. If I go that way and I subscribe to toilet paper to arrive at my house at a certain like frequency, can I nickname that? Because I'm really, really interested in nicknaming that the Shit Ticket Express.
You might be able to. I would definitely check it out. That's yeah. You probably can.
That'd be amazing.
So,
and then if I can have a button for like emergency Shit Ticket Express access.
I think you could do that actually. Okay, so here's another thing. All right, so I see this Amazon Dash button, right? And when I thought about it again, because I was interested, but I didn't have a chance really to read that much about it when I saw it. When I wanted to research it, which was like 2 days later, I'm like, I think it was called Dash. I can't remember. It was no longer on the front page. So I go there and I search Dash. Well, what comes up is not the Dash button. So in their ultimate wisdom, they have a product called Amazon Dash, and they have a product called Amazon Dash button, and they're completely different.
Wait. Two services, same name.
Oh, with the addition of the word button. It's like Java and JavaScript. You know how they have absolutely nothing to fucking do with each other? But right. JavaScript borrowed the name from Sun to... Anyway, not getting into that. That's kind of what this is. You've got Amazon Dash, which has been around for a little while. And then you've got Amazon Dash button, which is only... slightly similar to Amazon Dash. But I'm more of a fan of Amazon Dash than the Dash button. Unfortunately, Amazon Dash is not available to me. Okay, do you know about Amazon Market? Or Market Fresh or Fresh Market or something like that? Basically, the grocery delivery service that Amazon does.
Right, okay.
Okay, you have to have a local participating grocery store in order to utilize, I think it's called Amazon Fresh, actually. In order
fair
to
enough.
Utilize,
I mean, you really don't want your milk being delivered from New York.
Absolutely, and that makes perfect sense. But I live in the fucking butthole of New Mexico, where that service is not available. But I would love for it to be. You get this device. I don't know what it's called, but it's probably something the Dash. Something clever. I don't know. So you can scan your barcodes. Like, okay, I'm running low on milk. Beep. I'm running low on eggs. Beep. Running low on bread. Beep. You go through your house. Whatever. Everything that you're running low on. Things that you would put on your grocery list. You just scan it. Beep. 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 Or you can just talk to it. Okay. And be like, Shit Tickets. And if it knows what Shit Tickets are, it's going to add Shit Tickets to your list.
Right. I'm sure you'd have to pre-program that.
Yeah, probably, and I bet you can. I don't know. The service isn't available here, so I don't have it. And this is the only reason I don't have it, because I hate going to the fucking grocery store. You can scan all your barcodes or just talk to the damn thing and tell it, this is the shit I want. And guess what comes to your house? Either later today or tomorrow, guess what comes to your house? All the shit that you told this thing you want or need. That is awesome to me. I want that. I want it. But I can't live here and have that. So I guess I can want in one hand. Well, yeah.
And
so
anyway, have those tickets are, those, for the other.
Yes.
But so anyway, I'm not trying to be all over Amazon's nuts right now, but they've got some really cool stuff that I want, and I could only get some of it. So
jerks. I mean, amazing partners.
Yeah, I love Amazon. I actually signed up for Prime recently, which is long overdue. But yeah,
did you sign up for Prime through our Amazon link on ritualmisery.com?
I did, in fact. I don't know. Actually, yeah. I don't know. Is that gonna attribute? Because like I signed up for the free trial. I clicked our link, signed up for the free 30-day trial, which I'm going to continue, obviously, because it's a really good deal. But I wonder if it's gonna attribute.
It won't. Yeah, it won't until you actually go through the whole process.
Well, obviously, because I'm paying $0 for it right now.
We shall find out.
Let's see. It'll be interesting.
yeah. So anyway. So,
all right, I got one more thing that I want to bring up.
All right.
You suffer from allergies.
I do.
What causes your allergies? What is the allergen that gives you hell?
From me personally?
Yes, you.
Grasses, trees, flowers, cats, life.
Okay.
Pretty much the entire state of Texas.
Right. Do you like honey?
I love honey.
Do you consume local honey?
I do.
And is it's not helping your allergies at all? I found out about a thing just like a week ago. My girlfriend, Stephanie, is suffering from allergies horrifically. The congestion and the eyes watering and the headaches and the whole works. This is her first spring in New Mexico, and it is giving her hell. So at work, all of the little old ladies that come through her line in particular, but a lot of the her coworkers and people are telling her, you need to consume local honey. Really? What's this about? So I got to thinking about it, and it started to make sense to me. And I looked it up on the web, and my conjectures were confirmed, I guess. If you consume local honey, the bees are pollinating. They are consuming the pollen of the local plants. And when they produce the honey, some of that transfers into their honey. So by consuming it, it's basically immunotherapy. Yeah. Is what it comes down to. And that makes perfect sense to me. I guess it's kind of hit or miss results, and it's an overtime sort of thing. Apparently, and there's been no official, at least not that I have found, there's been no official scientific studies on this. Mostly anecdotal, mostly like maybe fringe scientists. I don't want to call it like, witch doctors or anything like that. Or there's been studies, but by no like peer-reviewed science journal type of study where people say that it's effective.
Right.
The science behind it, at least from my dumbass
limited
perspective,
knowledge.
Yeah, it sounds legit to me. It sounds just like getting your flu shot or whatever. Makes sense. So I don't know. We started that a couple days ago. She's drinking tea with a spoonful, I think it's a tablespoon that she uses, a tablespoon of local honey. So we'll see if that helps her at all. I mean, I don't expect any results in the next couple of days, but apparently over the long term, whatever the long term, I don't know if that's a week, 2 weeks, a month, a couple of years, I don't know.
I can say that, because I suffer from pretty bad allergies, as you know. We can get Texas honey here, and we can get local honey from the local farmer's market, which, of course, if you have a local farmer's market, I fully suggest that you support it to the highest of degrees, because, one, the food is better. It's better for you, supposedly. I know it tastes better. Mm-hmm, and supports local economy, which I am all about.
Absolutely. But, you might pay a couple extra cents for it, but who cares, man? This is a way better product.
Yep. The local honey here, all through the summer I was eating it, and it helped my allergies. And through the winter I did not because it was not available. And my allergies have been worse. The Texas honey seems to help a little bit, but that's completely anecdotal. I know the actual local, no shit, Taylor County Abilene honey really does help my allergies. But then you have to eat it every day, so you got to find a way to consume it without, you know, bumping your calorie count through the roof. So, because it is basically liquid sugar. But it's,
right.
But it's delicious. So,
no, but honey is actually one of the healthiest things that you can eat. It's packed with nutrients.
Yeah, it's and botulism, but you know.
Hey! Don't.
that's why you're not supposed to give it to kids under one or whatever because of the threat of botulism. But whatever.
Right. Yeah.
So Amber and I, well, Amber and Ashley and I went to Best Buy to buy Amber a CD, and Amber just exited, by the way. It is a little bit past her bedtime. She went to buy the CD, and the CD doesn't matter. What matters is...
Did you say a CD?
A CD, yeah. A CD. An actual no-shit CD, which is kind of the reason I wanted her to be on the show tonight. But whatever. She cherishes... Yeah, she cherishes the availability of CDs versus digital music. She likes buying the CD, getting the album art and everything else, and having the full experience.
I can understand that. I still buy vinyl. So
yeah,
I totally get it. I get it.
It's essentially the same thing. It's her generation version of our vinyl.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But anyway.
Yes.
So over the weekend, when I went to pick him up in Dallas, I was in the Apple store a few times and at a couple of different places, Nebraska Furniture Mart and several other local establishments. I used Apple Pay for the first time this weekend.
Okay.
On Friday at McDonald's here in Abilene. I used it twice, three times at the Apple store on Saturday when I was in Dallas to pick up the kids.
Okay.
I come back here and a couple days ago we go to Abilene. I guess it was Tuesday, so yesterday. We go to Best Buy to buy this CD.
Oh yeah, they have Apple Pay there, right?
According to the individual, who was at the register, working the register, the Best Buy employee, none of the registers at Best Buy, keep in mind, Best Buy is the only technology-based store in this entire town of 120,000 people of Abilene Town.
Okay.
None of the registers at Best Buy except Apple Pay, Google Wallet, or any other mobile-based payment system at all. None of them.
Okay.
So the reason given? He said that their system just wouldn't do it. It didn't work. They didn't have it turned on.
Oh.
He said, okay. Don't worry, though. Our registers are getting replaced, and we'll have a new system by the end of the year, which is awesome because everybody in the United States is going to have a new system by the end of the year because by the end of this year, I think it's this year, chip and PIN becomes mandatory, and most places don't currently support it.
Wait.
Even though Europe has been using it for, I don't know, years.
When does mandatory. Chip and PIN?
It's either by the end of this year or by the end of 2016.
Either way, that's long overdue.
Oh, yeah.
Use my credit card, my MasterCard credit card in Europe... They looked at me like I was like, what the fuck is this thing that you have here? Because they were looking for the chip. And it wasn't like they just switched over. They're like, oh, you've got the old thing. No, they were looking at like seriously like, what am I supposed to do with this thing?
Yeah.
That's they've had that system for a long time.
Yes. And
what the fuck?
It's just now, of course, there have been a few banks, you know, it's been a security feature. Added security for your protection.
Yeah, but like nobody doesn't do anything here because we don't have the fucking capability anywhere.
You know where it does have the capability to use it? And this is the first place I ever saw it used, because I was working there at the time. U-Haul. So
because that's where everybody shops all the time.
Yes. So capture this for a moment, all right?
Son of a bitch.
U-Haul in Abilene, Texas, and McDonald's in Abilene, Texas, will both accept NFC payments, Apple Pay, Google Wallet, yada, yada, and chip and pin.
God bless their hearts.
But Best Buy will not.
Fuck.
Like, they don't have the capability.
They don't have the chip and pin capability either.
They don't have NFC or chip and pin. Their systems will not acknowledge it. It's just,
I bet they'll accept a check. But they accept a check. Fucking post-dated out-of-state check without ID.
Yes, but they can't take the... Yeah, Jesus. I was blown away. Like, it... I couldn't believe it. So I had to bring that up. I had to share that experience with you.
Oh, man. I want the Jetsons future so much. We're in this weird in-between stage where we've got this... all kinds of cool shit. We've got the Jetsons future.
Right.
If we could just figure out how to fucking implement it and make it easy and accessible for everyone.
Yes, because, well, this is a product, in my opinion, this is a product of all the patent trolls and everything else.
Yes.
You're getting to the point where nobody wants to share their technology without licensing it. So every bit of, like the home automation we're talking about, everything is going into a closed system. They don't want to share because they want to make money on everything, and they don't want to be the people that come out with the technology but can't utilize it properly, and someone else makes a bunch of money on their stuff.
But that's bullshit, because if there are standards in place, the market will open, and guess what? You're going to make a shitload more money than if you, oh, I got this niche market. I've got 10 customers that are dedicated to my version of this, and oh, congratulations, you made $250, dumbass, where you could be making millions if there was a standard and open to everyone.
Right. Common sense will not be tolerated in my technology.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
All right.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. is that a Bob and Tom reference? Pretty sure it is.
It is. I don't remember the segment or the character.
I don't either. It's just there.
I would if I thought about it, I think. But yeah, definitely Bob and Tom.
Yeah, God, love Bob and Tom. So there's that. And that's pretty much our show, unless you got anything else, man.
No, man. I expected this to be kind of a, you know, random thrown together. What are we talking about tonight? I don't know. We're going to have to just kind of just... But no, I started putting my stuff in the show notes, and I looked at all your notes, and I was like, holy crap, dude, we've got a full show. I think this is actually one of the longer ones that we've had in a while. So, no, man, this is definitely a show. Definitely a show.
Cool. Once again, I want to remind everybody that if you're shopping on Amazon, you can just go to richmisery.com, hit the Amazon banner right there. It's not going to cost you anything extra, but it'll kick you a little bit back towards us. Help us improve the show, get better equipment, and justify doing this to our significant others with or without allergies, which is really the key point there. We really enjoy doing it. We're happy to take any inputs that we get. We've responded well, I think, to all the inputs we've received until I just started saying 543 times. And we have several people that we would like to think about that, and we're doing several projects. We got a lot of things in the works. We want to make this the best podcast we can, and we want to express ourselves in other ways, things that don't necessarily fit under the Ritual Misery podcast banner. And I want to put an open call out there. If you are one of the people that's downloading our show every week, if you're one of the people watching our YouTube videos every week, and there are those out there, there's actually quite a few of you, let us know. Let us know how we're doing. Podcast at ritualmisery.com.
Yep.
If you've got some interesting points.
Hey, what's up? That's, you know, let us know. Yeah. Let us hear from you.
Yep. Even if it's a matter of, if you've got some interesting points, if you think we're complete dumbasses, you want to come on the show and correct us, by all means, let us know. If you think this is the most amazing thing in the world and you look forward to it every week, the absolute most we can ask of you is to go to patreon.com/ritual misery and throw a little bit back towards us. That's completely optional. That's
definitely,
that's going to be our hallmark eventually. But as it is right now, we are 31 episodes into the beta phase. We are probably never going to come out of beta because it's just too much fun finding new shit and new ways to do things. We really, really appreciate everyone who listens to the show. And if the only thing you can possibly do to make the show better is tell us what we're doing wrong, by all means, podcast@ritualmisery.com.
Or something that's just as easy, if not easier, go into iTunes or wherever it is that you get this podcast from. Give us a rating, man. Throw us 4 or 5 stars, and you don't even have to actually review the show if you don't want to. You can just say, whatever you want to say. Say shit tickets.
Yep.
And that'll be awesome. But yeah, dude, like, give us 4 or 5 stars, whatever you think we are. Give us a review. That helps us out a lot.
Yeah, everything seems to be flowing really well for this podcast. We're gaining momentum. We're gaining listeners. We're gaining viewers on YouTube. What we're not getting is feedback, and that's the most important thing we can possibly get.
We've got quiet listeners.
Yes, very quiet listeners, and that doesn't do us too much good. I mean, we really need to know what it is that you enjoy, what it is that you don't like, and ways that we can improve, and we're not going to get any better if we're not hearing what we can do better from your point of view.
This is your show, after all. Tell us what to do.
It really is. It really is. We have crazy ideas. We like to share those crazy ideas, and we'd love to hear your crazy ideas. So podcast@ritualmisery.com. You can go to Twitter, find us @ritualmisery.
Yep.
Throw us a follow on there and give us a little bit of feedback. Just listen to the crazy random shit we put on there. I'm @EthanKane on the Twitter.
I'm @RM_DelNoche. Check me out.
There you go. If you really give a shit about beer, you can follow him on ratebeer.com. Look up Del Noche.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just want to, you know, if you can't be bothered to email us or, you know, join the Twitters or anything like that, and you just, it's easiest to pick up a phone and give us a call, you can do that too. That's going to be really simple. 567-69-TRMPC. That's 567-69, The Ritual Misery Podcast. So 567-698-7672. Give us a call, leave a voicemail. Completely anonymous is fine with us. We do plan on getting a chat room lined up shortly, as soon as we cross a couple thresholds. That should be fun. That's going to add another aspect to the show.
Yep.
Of course, I'll be going to Korea, so that'll add another aspect to the show. It might change the timing of the show. For the live viewers out there, those that are viewing live, because that's pretty amazing right now. If you're willing to jump on and watch us live, that really kicks ass. And so you can call and leave us a voicemail. You can email us, follow us on Twitter, give us ideas there. Let us know what's good, what's bad. And don't forget that our music comes courtesy of Kevin MacLeod. He's pretty awesome over there at comptech.com. A lot of podcasts are using his music. He's got great stuff, a plethora of stuff that he's put together. Short songs, long songs, ballads, simple tunes. He's pretty amazing. So there's that. Thank you for listening. And for Kent, for me, and for Amber, wherever she went off to, this has been your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.